John chapter number 14. This is going to be the simplest message that you've ever heard. It's not going to be the most profound message that you've ever heard. But if you get this wrong, you have no eternity in heaven. You say, what are you talking about? John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. The title of the message is this: Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, that's pretty simple. Everybody believes that. No, not everybody believes that. There are churches within the proximity of this church who do not preach that Jesus is God. There's a lot of people in this world who believe that Jesus is not God. They believe he was a good moral teacher, perhaps. They believe that he was a nice man, perhaps. They believe that he was a lunatic. But here's the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters. Jesus is God. And he demonstrates it and he talks about it himself right here in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, verse number 6. Jesus says unto him, talking about it to Thomas, he says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So he says, listen, not only have you known the Father, you have seen the Father by seeing me. You have seen God by seeing me. Look what else he says. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Now, Philip, Jesus just got through saying that he was the Father. Now Philip is saying, Jesus, show us the Father. Show us a sign. Unfortunately, in this world, and maybe even in this very room, there's a lot of people who want to see a sign. Want to see proof that God really exists. Want to see proof that God really cares. Want to see proof that Jesus is really God. Well, let me just give you some indisputable proofs this morning that God really exists. Take your right hand. Everybody, right hand. This one right here. Take your right hand and place it over your chest right here. Do you feel that thump, thump, thump? That is not just some mechanical operation going on in your body that just happened down through the years by evolution. That is God created. The way you're looking right now at me, in all honesty, the way your eyeballs look at everything, you're upside down. But your brain takes that image and turns it right side up. Could you imagine walking through life? And there are some people, unfortunately, do this, that walk through life and everything is upside down. That is not just a happenstance. That didn't just take place. Breathe with me. How in the world could something just accidentally happen to create two organs inside of your body that take oxygen in and make CO2 come back out? How in the world could that take place accidentally? You hear the cry of a baby. Where's he at? He's not in here this morning. He's downstairs. Oh my goodness. The little baby just born. That is a miracle. That is a beautiful, precious gift from God. Shannon, you got one brewing in the belly right there. That's God's creation. Brothers and sisters, God is real. And Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But here's the problem. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, then you can't be saved. If Jesus was just simply a good man, I know a lot of good men, but I don't know any of them that died for me. If Jesus was just a good moral teacher, I've known a good lot of good moral teachers, but none of them have died for me. If Jesus was indeed a lunatic, I've known a lot of lunatics. None of them died for me. Jesus must be God, otherwise I stand no chance, and neither do you. So Jesus tells them right here that I am indeed God. When you see me, you see God. But hold your finger here and go back to John chapter 1 with me real quick. John wrote John chapter 14, because the Holy Spirit used John to do that. But here's one of the most definitive proofs of what John wrote about who Jesus Christ was. Verse number 1, it says, in the beginning. Well, the beginning of what? In the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the creation of the universe. Way back when everything was created, in the beginning. That's what he's talking about here. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word is capitalized. That signifies deity. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was a good moral teacher. The Word was a lunatic. The Word was a good man. What does it say? The Word was what? God. It says in the very beginning, it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. That means that the Word is God. And the word means Jesus Christ. He is known as the Word. John himself says that the Word was God. And look what it says. The same, the Word, was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3. And all things were made by Him. Who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse number 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So let's look at some of the things we learn from here. We know in the beginning the Word existed. We know in the beginning that the Word was with God. We know in the beginning that the Word was God. We see that in the beginning the Word created everything. So how can you make that equal with God? Well, I'm very glad that you asked that question. Go back to Genesis chapter number 1 real quick. You can find that one real easy, very first book of the Bible. Genesis means the beginning. So John says the Word created everything. John says that the Word was God and was with God. So let's go back and look at who created everything in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So are you telling me that the writer of Genesis and the writer of John are disagreeing? Now, wait a minute. The writer of Genesis, who we believe was Moses, the Holy Spirit used Moses to write the book of Genesis, thousands of years before John wrote the book of John, the beginning says that God created the universe. John says that the Word created the universe. So either Moses didn't know what he was talking about, or John didn't know what he was talking about, or the Word and God are the same. So which is it? Is Moses the lunatic? Is John the lunatic? Is Jesus the lunatic? It's got to be that Jesus and God are the same person. Now, hold on. Look at verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God created the universe. I don't care what the scientists say. I don't care what the professors say. I don't care what those well-educated men and women have said down through the past and are currently teaching right now in our schools and everywhere else. I don't care what they say. God created everything. Brothers and sisters, you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. I can't trust a book written by men. I need to see it to believe it. Go outside and look at the stars. Go outside and look at what we live in here. You can't tell me this has happened by accident. You might as well just go ahead and say this. Let me get a bag of watches and smash those watches up and let me shake that bag around. The chances of those watches putting themselves back together in perfect working order, in perfect timing, has a lot more of a chance than the world being created by God Himself. God created everything. Well, my professor said this, or my teacher said that. Well, guess what? God created them too. God created everything. And so therefore, if God created everything, and 1 John says that the Word was with God and that the Word created everything, that must tell me that Jesus and God are the same person. We say, Brother Brian, I understand that. Tell me something I don't know, because really, how does my eternity have to do with Jesus being God? Well, I'm very glad you asked that. Go back to John chapter 14 real quick. Here's what he says. John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So he's simply saying this. Listen, you want to go to God? You got to come through me. I've got to be the one to get you to the Father. Jesus said, you've got to come to me. To come to me, you've got to go through Jesus. But let me show you another thing. Look in the Old Testament. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Genesis, Exodus. Next book. Exodus chapter number 3. Moses is having a discussion with God. Look how God identifies himself to Moses. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. God says, I am. Well, what does that mean? I am. God is everything. God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God is the redeemer. God is the one who gives you the very breath in your body. God is the very one who fills your lungs inside. God is the one that keeps the blood pumping. God is the one who's given you the mind. God's the one who's given you your sight. God's the one who's given you everything that you have. God's the one that gave you your spouse, so you can blame him for it. God is the one who has given you every single thing. You say, well, this is what I need. Go to God. This is what I desire. Go to God. What's your answer? God is. God says, I am. Moses didn't quite understand that. And he says, God, what do I tell the people? God said, tell them that I am. Brothers and sisters, what do you have need of in life this morning? What is it that you're desiring this morning? The answer is God, because God said, I am. He identified himself. Go to Isaiah chapter 9 real quick. Isaiah chapter number 9. God identifies himself through Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. Isaiah gives a prophecy about God being made in the flesh. Here's what he says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. The description right there of who he's going to be. He is going to be the mighty God. He is going to be the everlasting Father. The one who's going to be born to Israel won't just simply be a man. He will be God in the flesh. John chapter 1 goes back. Go back to John chapter 1. He continues the discussion here. And in the light shineth, verse number 5, in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe the light. He was not the light. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Brothers and sisters, he was the light, he was the Word, he is the God. Jesus is God. But Isaiah said, listen, he's going to come, he's going to be the everlasting Father, he's going to be the mighty God. John chapter 1 says that he's going to come in the flesh. John chapter 1 says that he's the Creator. John chapter 1 says that he is the one that's going to be sustaining everything. That's who God is. Jesus fulfills all of those prophecies. And here in John chapter 14, he's saying, listen, I am God. Look to me. Now, you say, well, Brother Brian, you still have not proven the point to me yet that in order to have eternity, Jesus must be God. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you are sinless here this morning? How many of you know anybody ever born other than Jesus that was sinless? We can't raise our hand because we don't know of anybody. So in order to be saved, somebody has got to pay. And nobody is worthy of paying and taking care of our sin except someone who's sinless. And the only way somebody could be sinless, they would have to be God, because God's the only one that's sinless. So in order for our sins to be taken away, God has to take those sins away from us. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, every year the high priest would take the lamb and slit its throat and bleed and put the blood on the tabernacle, on the altar. Every year that took place to cover the sins for the next year. They had to do something to pay for the sins. Jesus came, God in the flesh, to pay for our sins because he was sinless. Go back to John chapter 1. Let me show you something here. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. God in the flesh was made Jesus Christ. How many of you understand or following what I'm following right here? How many of you are completely asleep and have forgotten everything I've said? So John is saying that Jesus is God. Now go back to 14 with me real quick. John chapter 14. Let me show you something here. Jesus is having a conversation with Philip. Here's what he says. Have I been so long with you? Verse number 9. And yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you, show us the Father? Don't you understand, Philip? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and that the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwells in me, he doeth the works. He says, Philip, I've been with you this whole time, and when you've seen me, you've seen God. I don't know how much more I can express to you that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. You see, Brother Brian, I need God. I need to see God. I need to hear from God. I just simply wish that God would show up and sit in a seat right next to me and talk to me, because I really need to hear God. You hear and see God every single day you open this word up. This is God. This is His letter to us. This is His instructions to us. This is what He tells us to do. This is He tells us to live right here. You want to hear God? Read His Word. You want to see God? Read His Word. You want to do what God wants you to do? Read His Word. This is God. His love letter to us. But yet, we as human beings, we don't want this. Because it goes against everything that we want to do. This is inconvenient. Well, Brother Brian, I want Jesus to be God, and I want to get saved. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die one day. Amen, so do I. But I don't want to do everything God says to do. I want to pick and choose. I want to be a Golden Corral Christian. What's that? Golden Corral. How many of you like Golden Corral? There's not one around here, but I love Golden Corral. You can tell. Golden Corral, they have five different food bars. They got the salad and they got the vegetables and the fruit. I bypass them things. I go to the carbs and the meats. And I go down through there, and as I go down through there, I pick what I like and I leave what I don't. Liver and onions. Oh, I love them. Them big old thick meaty ribs. Oh, I love them. Them English peas, they can go somewhere else. I want nothing to do with them. But I can go down through and I can pick what I like and I can leave what I don't. You know what? We've got some smorgasbord or Golden Corral Christians in here. I like that part about Jesus forgiving me. I like that part about Jesus loving me. Man, I love that part about Jesus being God in the flesh. Woo, I love those parts because I get to go to heaven. But I don't like that part where it says we're supposed to love one another. I don't like that one. So I'm just going to bypass that one. And I don't like that part where it says that we're to be holy and we're to be separate from the things of the world. I don't like that one, Brother Brian. So I'm just going to skip that one and I'm going to go to something else. Are you a Golden Corral Christian? It's either whole or none. Either Jesus is God or He's a lunatic. Either Jesus really died on your behalf on that cross as God in the flesh, or He didn't. Either you believe everything this says or none of it is valid. So is Jesus God? Can you prove it? Who can prove to me that Jesus is God? You're kind of tricking us, Brother Brian. You don't have to prove it. You believe it. For without faith, it's what? Impossible to do what? Please God. Can I physically prove that there's a God? No. I can't physically prove it. Just like you can't physically prove that there isn't. You believe it. Right here. If this is God, and I believe it, that's all that matters. And you say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I can prove to you there's God. I can see His evidences, but I can't prove it. But I believe it. That's better than proof. That's kind of confusing. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. But by faith, we have eternal life, believing who Jesus really is. So was Jesus God? Do you have proof that he's God? Right here. Can you show somebody from the Bible where it says Jesus is God? If you can show somebody from the Bible where Jesus is God, raise your hand. Come on, I just showed it to you. In Genesis, in Isaiah, in John chapter 1, John chapter 14, that's enough. Jesus is God. Because if he's not God, I've got no hope. If he's not God, nobody can die for me. If he's not God, my sins aren't forgiven. I'm bound for hell. I'm gone. But if Jesus is God, he took away my sins because he's the only one capable of doing it. He's got to be God. If not, I'm done. But if he is, then I live. How about you? How about you? Is Jesus God? If you believe he's God, say amen this morning. Then how about living for him? If he's really God, live for him today. Let's all stand together. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. I've given you proof from what the Bible says that Jesus claims to be God, and he is God. Trust him today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs. Lord, thank you that you came in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you this morning, Father, that you would be real to us in a great and mighty way, in ways that we can never explain. Thank you that you came to die for our sins. Thank you that you allowed yourself to be buried. Thank you that you rose again from the grave. And I thank you that you're soon to come back for your church. I ask you now, Father, that you would calm our hearts. The importance of you coming in the flesh gives us hope and peace. That when nothing else can help, we know that we have contact with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, God, you know the work that needs to be done this morning. You know the hearts of people. You know where we need you. And so right now I'm asking you, God, to do what only you can do. Thank you for coming in the flesh. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As Brother Dan's going to begin to sing, if God dealt with your heart about anything, I invite you to come this morning. Won't you come?